You have huge ambitions and big dreams, but are worried that you will never reach them due to ADHD holding you back. We are here to tell you, show you, and prove to you that you can and you will reach your goals, despite all of the challenges we ADHDers face. Understand your brain, crush your symptoms, hyper-focus on your goals, and leverage your unique strengths so you can enjoy your life, feel better, and finally live up to your true potential. Welcome to the ADHD Doers Podcast.
Today I'm here with Mariana, who's a civil engineer. Also, I really like the ADHD trust, so to speak, who's actually doing her diving license in a while, which is, yeah, quite an interesting story. But Mariana, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. So I live in the United States, and for work, Maurice mentioned, I'm a civil engineer. Specifically, I work in waterfront structures. So any kind of buildings you're used to seeing on land, so like houses, skyscrapers, I don't work with at all. It would just be like marinas, jetties, bulkheads, if you walk down a boardwalk, structures like that. And as part of that, we do inspection. So Maurice mentioned getting my dive license. I'm set to go to commercial dive school later this year. And from there, I'll be able to conduct those inspections.
Yeah, and I think this is just a beautiful example of how you can make your life and your job with ADHD interesting, because you just combine different aspects. You try to combine as much as what you find interesting and what you enjoy. This really gives us a unique perspective in combining many things that, yeah, maybe many other engineers are not so driven to make these weird, not it's not even weird, but it's an interesting combination.
Absolutely.
But yeah, maybe let's start with going a little bit more further back. I remember right, you also don't have an official diagnosis yet, so it was quite a little late start for you.
Right, I did not figure out that I had ADHD until my very last semester of college, which is definitely the time that you want to find that out. But I found out because I had a friend who had really, really severe ADHD, and somebody had noticed that a lot of the symptoms overlapped and pointed it out to me. Like, he had thought I had already known that I had it, but I didn't, and I thought he was kidding. But eventually he explained to me, no, I'm serious, like you should look into this. So I never got an official diagnosis, but I did talk to experts like you, and I talked to a therapist to see like what her take on it was. And she's like, yeah, I think you do. So I also talked to Camden, who runs the ADHD directory, and she agreed to. So just kind of by putting all those pieces together and then just looking at different things that were going on that I wasn't able to explain before.
Yeah, exactly. Just something that I'm mentioning because it's something, a very common theme that I see with people that come to us, that with people that are in our group, because we kind of have this at the target audience of high performers, of people who are ambitious, who are lawyers, who are entrepreneurs, who are engineers, who try to find their way to work on things that they're passionate about. And same for me, I also got a very late diagnosis, and it's such a common theme because you struggle with these things, but you struggle not that bad because you kind of make up with maybe your intelligence, maybe you get things faster that other people don't, or you find coping mechanisms and don't see what ADHD really is then if you don't have a good understanding of it and just see it as like the hyperactive kid bouncing around and can't focusing on things. You might not make that connection because, why would you? Anyway, I want to go back a little bit to, maybe the university time. So what were the things that maybe you struggled with, especially looking back now that you can definitely link them to the way your brain works?
Absolutely. So while I was there, if something wasn't happening in the way that I expected, I totally went back to just that negative self-talk of thinking, oh, I'm just like not good enough. I just need another cup of coffee. I don't know why I can't concentrate on this right now. Just kind of beating myself up. But looking back, I know that that was definitely one of the symptoms that I was having. So one of the things I definitely struggled with was that like common symptom of the things that you're interested in, you'll put the work into and you'll do, and the things that you're not, you kind of just let fall to the wayside. So the way that I kind of dealt with that is because I didn't know that it was ADHD is instead of like brute forcing, trying to figure out, like fight against it, I just kind of leaned into it. Which maybe isn't the best university advice, but if it was a class I didn't like, I just didn't put in the effort to it, like, to be honest. So my school was pretty small, and when you were in a class with one person, it was likely if they were studying with you, they were in another class with you too. So there were classes that I would be better at because I was interested in the subject, and classes that I wasn't good at and openly did not care about because I was bad at it. So what I would do is for the things that I was good at, you can usually find someone who is bad at that thing, but good at the thing that you were bad at, and you could kind of work together to trade. And I would be like so direct with anybody who was helping me. I was like, listen, I don't like this class. I don't care about it. I don't even want to sit here studying or doing this homework with you, but I got to get through it somehow. I want to graduate. My school also had like peer tutoring services, which I found my second year there. And I always found like one or two classes that I knew I was not going to like that I had to take. So I would just sign up to get that peer tutor early on. And then that way I had to meet with them once a week to go over the course and the coursework and the homework. So that helped keep me on track for doing those things because I had an appointment to keep with that person.
Yeah, definitely a big one. The accountability, having those other people that are, because that's the beauty of it. About 5% of the population have this ADHD brain, although this is just an estimate. And so you can see 95% don't have it. So they are, we are like the minority. And the beauty is that these skills are so high in demand these days, like creative problem solving. Every big company writes it and we need creative problem solvers. And yeah, those are just the skills that they don't train in university. You are trained to have like, these are how things are. And then you have a lecturer, at least that's very much so in Germany still.
And especially for engineers, like that's, engineering is the profession of creative problem solving, but for buildings and structures.
Yeah.
So that was actually why I got into engineering, is because I knew I was creative, but like I didn't necessarily have a penchant for art. So whenever someone asks me why I got into engineering, I say that it's my practical way of applying creativity. That's my exact answer to them.
Love that. Don't even know, I think I didn't even mention it, by my bachelor's degree, I also studied engineering and economics, kind of mechanical engineering. And that's also what I didn't understand it at the time, like that it also is a creative thing, and the creativeness. Yeah. But especially when it comes to system engineering, thermodynamics, I just love this stuff because they are so, I'm also dyslexic, by the way, so that gives it even more so, making connections between things that are, many people don't see those. And then, system dynamics, thermodynamics, how do the things relate to each other? And it's just a beautiful thing. And at the same time, I was so, worn down by all these classes which were not that creative thing, especially in the economics part of my studies, which just learn this thing and then write it down. It really crushed me. So I love your advice, kind of lean into the things that you know. Looking back, it might be a little bit as you said, not intuitive, that some people say you also have to work on your weaknesses, but especially with the ADHD brain, it just, the earlier you start moving to that direction of focusing on the things you like, I think the earlier you come into that part of life where you just have more of that in your life and you just develop those skills, and those will help you much more than wasting your time, beating yourself up, trying to learn things.
Absolutely. I remember there was one level of calculus I had to take, differential equations. The first time I took it, I had to withdraw from it because for whatever reason, it was not clicking. I was not good at it. I don't use it in my job now, luckily, but it wasn't happening. So when I re-enrolled for the next semester and I was taking it, I remember there was one part of the course where you needed to do these really, really difficult worksheets. Like, they didn't expect you to actually do well on them. They didn't expect you to get really far in the problem solving. I'm not really sure why they were assigned, and I asked, and nobody could tell me why. Mm-hmm. But they were only worth 5% of your grade, so I just didn't do any of them. And I remember I was sitting with the department head looking over, like, my grades for class to make sure that I was on track this time because I didn't want to have to take it a third time. And he looked at that grade that was worth 5%, and he's like, you know, like, you haven't done any of these. And I was like, well, I hate them. Nobody's been able to tell me why we have to do them. They're really difficult. They end up confusing me because I get frustrated trying to try things that don't make sense. And they're only worth 5% of my grade, and I'm not going to do them. Which is maybe not the way to talk to a department head, but he was kind of like, okay. Let it go.
Yeah. Great story. Great story, especially like this openness, also very ADHD-like trait, like this bluntness many people don't expect. Many people expect you to wrap it up and
I was polite, but I was straight up like, I don't see the point of this. It's really hard. I'm confused, and it's not worth that much, and therefore not worth my time.
Have you been to Asia yet? Just a kind of random side
to
question.
To Asia? Yeah, I've been to Thailand.
Because I studied in Malaysia one semester, and this was like the total extreme with my being German, being extreme open, being ADHD, so all straight at the bed, and they're like super, where's the gym? You have to go in that direction on the campus, and then you go there and there's nothing, and people, they don't tell you, I don't know where the gym is, they just tell you anything. And I was running around the campus not expecting with my mental model that people would just show me in any direction. So
oh, that's funny. That must have been so frustrating.
Yeah. But again, it was a great experience to just learn it, and because it made it so obvious. And I even didn't know I had ADHD during that time. So it was just a different mentality also, but great. Yeah, maybe let's move on a little bit, like your current profession. Like, how does your day look like? Like, what kind of things, how does ADHD involve in that creative problem solving? Just tell a little bit about your, for thinking about people who are looking for their career were thinking maybe engineering is something that I might be interested in, but just give them a little bit of an insight.
Right. So there are many kinds of engineering, and there's many kinds of different like day-to-days as a result. Like, you can have engineering jobs that are strictly office. You can have engineering jobs that are strictly in the field, or you can have jobs where you're doing both. So I knew that either way, whether it was sitting in the office all the time or being in the field all the time, I didn't want to do the same thing all the time. So I really specifically sought out a job that would allow me to do a little bit of both, which is part of how I came along what I do now. So I'll have two like typical kind of days. I'll either have like a typical office day or a typical field day. My schedule changes all the time, so I'm never quite sure what I'm necessarily going to be doing the next week until, you know, it is that week. Sometimes things are scheduled out in advance, but the schedule has to change a lot. So my typical office day, we get in pretty early. Like, I like to get in around like 7 a.m. usually, just because if I get in early, I get to leave early. So I'll have usually more than one project that I'm working on too, which really, really helps, because if I've been staring at one thing for too long and I don't want to do it anymore, the way that I'll kind of like hack it to make it work for me is I'll go from, okay, this project is really boring, I'll just go to project number two and I'll work on that for a little bit instead, just to kind of like switch the gears, because I'll be doing something totally different from one project to another. Like, one project I'll have will be design, and I'll be doing, you know, like lots and lots of algebra, and I'll be like, okay, I can't stare at this anymore, I'm going crazy, let me switch to this project where I'm doing drafting work. So I'll go back and forth between those two all day, depending on, you know, what I get sick of. And then I have a typical field day. So like I mentioned, we do inspections with the commercial divers. So my typical field day is we show up to our shop around 6 a.m. or so. We pack up our boat and everything, or our truck, depending on how we're going to get to site. We make sure everybody's feeling good, feeling safe for the day. And then we get to the site. A boat has proven to be much, much faster, so I definitely prefer that. And then once we get there, we'll, you know, set everything up. We'll help get our diver dressed in, because, you know, that's really tricky for scuba diving, as I know you well know. So for commercial diving, there's even more. So we'll do that. And at the same time that that's going on, I'll have to be setting up like field notes for the day, which is typically either on a laptop, or sometimes we'll do like hand notes and sketches. So I'll be drawing out something to label as we go. And then once the diver, we call it like diver down, or the diver goes under, you have to be paying attention. So this has been really, really helpful for me because it's practicing like needing to pay attention. Because for commercial diving, you have an umbilical. You don't go down with just like a scuba bottle on your back. You have one just in case, but you also have an umbilical to the surface that goes to a compressor, which goes to a snorkel. And the snorkel is pumping air down into that compressor and then into the umbilical down to the diver. So while you're a topside, you have to pay attention to a lot of different things. So the ADHD helps in that way, but it also kind of helps me develop those new skills because I have to pay attention. When the diver's underwater, if I'm taking notes, I have to be paying attention to what he's saying, because if he's at, you know, pile alpha and he's moved on to pile Bravo, it's really, really annoying to tell them to have to go back because I wasn't listening, because they're really exerting themselves down there, like swimming up and down the pile, inspecting it, if that's what we're doing, swimming, you know, back and forth. And if you tell them to go back, it just tires out your diver and it slows down the whole inspection by like 10 minutes. So you need to be paying attention to save time, save that energy, not get your diver mad at you. So I've been able to develop the skill in that way, but the ADHD also helps because while you're taking notes and paying attention to that aspect of it, you also need to be watching the diver's air and making sure that it's going down at the correct pressure. You need to be paying attention to your general surroundings. So for example, if you have a diver underwater and there's like a ferry going by and there's going to be a really, really big wake and your diver's, you know, at the top of the water, but the ceiling of the structure is here and there's a wake, you don't want your diver to smash their head. So you let them know so they can go under. So it's that constant having to pay attention, but paying attention to different things.
Mm. Yeah, I really love that sense of, I really also love for how you mentioned, like, it's like practicing attention, basically, because that's what I also incorporate with a lot of clients, is having just activities, because meditation in general is very hard for people with ADHD. So it helps a lot having just those activities that force you to pay attention. Being mindful can even start by brushing your teeth. Diving, of course, is an extremely cool task, and I would highly recommend anyone with ADHD to check it out, because it's just a total different way of experiencing the world. You're down there and even navigating the world. Like, you can regulate your buoyancy, like how good you float in water with how much air you have in the lungs. And then there's something that really got my interest, like trying consciously to keep your heart rate down and to stay as relaxed as possible, because that way you will use much less air. I mean, you don't have that much of an, what is this, sometimes the word, if you're going for the commercial dive, because you basically have unlimited air, but you can still make it a game, and it's a great skill to learn. Just consciously calm your heart rate down and stay calm. At the same time, you're just in an environment. Ah, really love it. What I wanted to ask, yeah, there was a lot of in your as well, so it's good that I took some notes. Again, to the thing I really liked it, lean into it, like you said in the beginning, lean into things you like. I think it's just such a perfect example of your life for someone who's looking into engineering, because it has all these parts. It has this variability. You have different schedules. You have different tasks. You have some, like the diving aspect of it. So it's really something great to give someone an idea of what they should be looking for if they're going into engineering. Because I'm sure many people might not see that this creative side and the potential of combining different things. Because engineering, many people think of it as very rational, very mathematical, not much creativity involved, and only if you really see behind the curtain, then things make much more sense. And so it's just so much about the environment. Okay, so one question. What advice would you give someone with ADHD who is interested in becoming an engineer in general? So not sure how much knowledge you have of other professions. So how would they start? Would they just sign up for civil engineering? What would the process look like for them to maybe think about that decision and go further with it?
So I would say for maybe somebody who's in high school and looking into it, definitely look for a university where you have a lot of different options for different types of engineering. Because I studied civil engineering, but my college had like 10 or 15 different kinds of engineering. And then shop around, ask the older kids at the school, you know, like what engineering are you? Like, how do you go about that? What are you going to do with that? Even if they don't have an answer for what they're going to do, they know what their options are. So just kind of seeing all the different ways that you can think creatively with engineering is really going to help you make that choice as to how. I really liked civil engineering, but I also studied computer engineering because I was really, really interested in that. And as far as engineering goes, those are like opposites, because you have civil engineering on like one side, which is really like tangible. You can see it, like the building, you know, it's obvious kind of how it's standing up. But on the other hand, computer engineering is really, really abstract, and you're not like seeing it happen. Like, you're designing the hardware, or you're designing like the computer languages, and you're not like seeing it the same way that you see engineering that civils do. So looking at like all the different options in that way and how like tangible versus intangible they are really, really helps. Talking to upperclassmen really, really helps. The first 2 years for all engineers are pretty much going to be the same, and you're not really going to get into your major until that third or fourth year. So you have time to switch and shop around and really see all the different things you can do. And I would just recommend like kind of trying whatever you like. See out of those gen eds which are most interesting to you, and use that to kind of pick what engineering is interesting. You can do internships, you can do externships, which is just like a one-day internship kind of thing, where you get like a peek and see the office, meet some people. I'd also recommend just like reaching out to people, especially people who like have just gotten in the field. Like, we want to communicate with you, and if you're interested, we want to answer your questions. I still have people who reach out to me who are still in college, which I really, really love. I have people reach out to me on LinkedIn to ask me questions, which I love. So yeah, people want to help. So definitely like reach out, ask questions. If you want to know what the day-to-day is like, ask. And if you have like a concern about a field and you're just shopping around, you can definitely be honest about that. Like, if someone comes to me and they're like, you know, I'm thinking about civil engineering, or I'm thinking about waterfront, like, I'm going to give you an honest answer, and I'm going to say, you know, I really, really like this about civil engineering, but I really don't like that part, so I don't do it. Or, like, I wasn't interested in it because of these reasons.
Yeah. Again, great answer. It's really, in the beginning, just try to find your way. That's something that I'm also highlighting very much. You need to have a goal, and you need to start moving to it, but then consciously keep your mind open. Not lock too much on the goal. But yeah, just see if you have the feeling, and I'm much more emphasizing intuition these days, because I understand it at a deeper level and how the subconscious, so to speak, processes the information you feed it. And then before even you can verbalize it, you get this feeling and this drive. And that's how you framed it. It's also very cool. Just start with it, be open, learn about it, talk to people. Great advice. Okay. Then one thing I would like to, one theme I always like, because it also resonates with a lot of people with a light diagnosis with ADHD, with the topic and theme of potential. So have you ever felt that you are not living up to your potential, be it in university, be it in an engineering job now? Is that something can resonate with an ONI level?
Absolutely. More so in school, a little bit less so now, but it still happens. It happened a lot in school, honestly, because I didn't know what it was. It happens less now because I kind of can catch it. So in school, before I knew I had ADHD, if I couldn't focus on something, or I was getting distracted by something else, or I was procrastinating, I would just beat myself up about it. I would just feel bad. I wouldn't know like why I couldn't focus on it, why I couldn't just sit there and study like other kids could. And that was really frustrating. And I definitely felt like something was wrong, but in like a bad way. I was like, it was like, you're like not good enough for this. Like, you can't concentrate on it because you just actually can't do it. You're just bad at this. You just shouldn't bother. So fighting through that was difficult. And I found that the best way to like fight through some of those feelings was I would just vocalize them, whether it was just for me by myself, or if like I was talking to someone and I was like, I'm really struggling with this, like here's what's going on in my head, you know, like to my friends or something. And even if I was just by myself and I would just say it out loud, you kind of like need to hear that and know that that's not true. You know what I mean? Like that's what helped me, is if like I was in my head, if I vocalized it and I was like, you know, like, I just think I'm like not smart or good enough for this, then it would kind of like kick in, because if somebody else said that to me, that would be unacceptable. Mm-hmm. You know, like if anybody else was talking to me that way, like I wouldn't be friends with that person. I wouldn't associate with them. Like I'd probably put some pretty colorful language in their direction and move on. So for me, vocalizing it was almost like hearing somebody else say it to me. And then I could kind of be like, hey, like cut it out. Like, you know, you can do it. So that was how I dealt with it before I knew. And then now that I know that that's what it is and kind of that's where it's coming from, I can catch it before I get too deep down that rabbit hole. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is just a symptom of this. You just need to like take a walk. You just need to look at something else. You just have to walk away from it for a little bit and then come back to it later. And if I find that I'm still really struggling with coming back to it, I'll just try and do it for like 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes. You know, it's like, I'll just set that like time limit of like, okay, you just have to do it for a little bit. And if you still hate it, go and do something else. And then just kind of go through it like 10 minutes at a time for
time limit for doing a task, or time limit for, what did you mean with the time limit?
Yeah. For doing a task. If I'm having that like negative self-talk and I like feel like I can't get through it because of whatever reason, and I keep talking negatively to myself, that's how I'll be able to come back to it. Because I'll catch a lot of it now, so I deal with it in a different way because I know where it's coming from.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Really good self-awareness already, because that's one of the things where self-awareness and understanding how your mind works, and that these thoughts, you don't have to identify with them, but catching yourself when they arise, and then, yeah, then you still have the choice. You don't have to go down that rabbit hole of racing thoughts. And another aspect, which really ADHD is also a trouble of regulation in general. I think it's a much better theme to understand that regulation of attention, but also regulation of emotion. So that can interplay, especially for me, I also have that experience with a low frustration tolerance. So I'm used to understanding things very fast, seeing the connections. Yeah. And then when it wasn't that case and I had something, I was extremely frustrated, and then, maybe I'm just dumb. And all these things that then come across, especially if you have no idea of how your brain is different, and you see some aspects of where I was very good, and then some aspects where I was just throwing away points, especially like all in school and university. I always made like these quick mistakes, little mistakes, sparrow mistakes, didn't read the question, and the hard question always got a lot of points. So it was kind of inverse. Yep. And that's also where this potential thing comes up a lot, because yeah, you know what your brain was actually capable of, but then the kind of excitement, how they ask it for it, is very counterintuitive for the brain. It can be hard to just get it out of your brain in a structured way. So many aspects that kind of fight you and your brain.
Yeah, I relate to that so much. My last calculus course I had to take was multivariable calculus. Okay, this was like the fourth level of calculus I had to take once I got through the third one, and you were finding like areas of weird 3D shapes and all sorts of stuff like that that I don't think I could do it now. But I would get through the multivariable calculus part, and then at the very end of the question I would do like 2 + 2 = 5, and they would take off 10 points for that.
yeah, that sounds like a great thing to do. Definitely. Yeah. And again, it comes down to environment. It's just so cool when you're finally out of university, finally get to understand your brain, and finally can do things in a way you actually need to do. And yeah, I'm actually, that's one of the missions of ADHD is to really try to build up some kind of resources for people to understand it as early as possible and help them, because the school system at the moment does a very, very bad job at this kind of education in general. It's so much in silos, you have math, you have whatever. They don't teach interconnectedness. They don't teach, many things we have to improve it, and better sooner than later, because it's still designed to creating factory workers, basically, and not for the skills we really need. And suppressing creativity, which kind of hurts my heart to see that it's still that way. But
absolutely, me too, me too.
Right. Okay, maybe let's shift a little bit more in the ADHD and personal life. We don't have to be super deep as deep as you're comfortable, whatever you want to share. Can be something like, how does it impact your organization, feeling of overwhelmed, the emotional side, whatever feels like. Maybe share a story that's related to it. That's always great. Just try to think of it, what you want to share regarding this.
Sure. So on the organization side, I got organized like pretty early on in life just because I felt like I had to. Like, if I wasn't organized, I would never see any of my stuff ever again. I'd never be able to find it. So I definitely set up designated places where I know things probably are. So I know if I put my wallet down, I put it down in one of three places. And that's it. I won't put it down any other place because I know if I do, I'm going to forget I put it there and I'm never going to see it again. So luckily, I don't struggle as much with that part of it. When I do go to look for something and I think it's in, you know, one spot, but it's in another, I'll just permanently move it to wherever I thought it was to begin with so that I don't have to like go through that trail every single time. And that helps with like physical objects or even like files at work. If I go to look for it in one place and it's not there and I find it in another place, I'll just move it to the place I looked for it in the first effort. On the personal side, I would say the biggest struggle is with like that frustration and like needing to understand why, because, you know, like somebody will suggest something to me, like on a personal level, and I won't be able to like just kind of go with it or hear them out. Like, I'll get like snappy. I'll be like, well, like, why? Like, does it make sense to me? Where like I've needed to approach it like definitely gentler to get them to have it be more of a dialogue and not just me like confused and frustrated. I also find that sometimes when I'm frustrated, I'll be shorter. I won't be as, I won't necessarily be acting like myself. Like, I'll just be like frustrated or snippy or rude, which is obviously not how you want to treat the people around you or the people that you love. So like knowing that that's where it's coming from, I'll be able to again get ahead of it. And instead of just, you know, like before I knew, just assuming I was in a bad mood and like hiding from people until it ended, like now that I know where it's coming from, I can be like, okay, like I'm just a little frustrated right now. I'm not mad at you. You didn't do anything. Like, just give me like 10 minutes to like sort it out in my head and then we can come back to this.
Right. Do you meditate?
I haven't in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, but I keep that theme. You are very, I really like that you are very self-aware and understand like these thoughts and that you just need to give it some time to write down. It's really many examples that show how much of an essential skill it is in countless situations, no matter if it's productivity, if it's calming down, if it's, yeah. Just so many examples for that you just gave without calling it meditation, without, that's why I keep kind of highlighting it so that people really see more of these real life benefits that really come with it by you being more self-aware of your thoughts and creating this gap of, because that's what impulsiveness also is. Do you have a trigger? I really like to use food, for example, because it's, people get it, or food or your phone. You have the trigger, you have the chips, and your impulses are get the food because you have, your brain knows it's dopamine, it's thing, but then if you can catch you thinking it and recognizing it, then you still have the chance to, yeah, modify your behavior.
Yeah, or even if I don't catch it, like if I'll get frustrated and like maybe I say something to my partner that's mean, like I'll be like, wait, I know it's not you, like I'm sorry, let me deal with this for 10 minutes and just like think through everything I need to think through and let's take a break and come back to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. I think that was a great episode. Yeah, from the question, I think we covered most of it. If there's anything left you want to share, any maybe like your one most important tip, like kind of, yeah, break it down to the most important. I always like prioritizing as a theme. I also keep coming back to because it makes you forced to think like, coming from this episode, like the one most important tip, yeah, and targeting demographic, I think one most important tip for people in the professional world already, and one for people that are still in university on their path. So we have two there, but maybe combine them, whatever. Get some time to think about it, be creative about combine the things we talked about.
Yeah, I would say for people in the professional world, like finding a way to take that time and kind of put in that extra step so that if you do get frustrated or something's not like going the way you need it to at work, like if you start a task and you're constantly distracted from it, like find a way to take that break. And, you know, like what I'll do is I'll kind of, okay, I clearly don't want to work on this project right now. Let me just commit fully to a distraction for 10 minutes, like set a timer, and then I'm able to come back to what I'm doing. So that would be for professional people. And then for people still in school, whether it's like high school or university, I would say like lean into it. Like why set yourself up to go into something where you're going to be like brute force, like fighting against your own brain the whole time. Like just find something that's going to make it the path of least resistance. And that doesn't mean that the field you go into is going to be challenging. It doesn't mean that your schoolwork isn't going to be difficult. It just means that you're interested in it and you like it.
Great. Yeah. That lean into it was really the first thing I've wrote down here because I liked it so much because it's so essential. And in the end, again, prioritizing, it's one of the themes that really you can theme your life around it. In my journal, it's one page where I think, try to do as many things that interest you as possible, especially like in the entrepreneurship world. It's also very easy to get distracted and then suddenly you're doing e-commerce, you're selling stuff and 60% of your task again is filled up with things you don't really want to do because you got caught up chasing money and chasing scaling or chasing whatever. And that's why it's so essential to theme your life around it, really. Try, keep reminding yourself, keep asking you those questions. Where can I lean into it? Where can I work with my brain, do things that I actually enjoy? Because then you will become successful. Money, whatever, it will follow. Because then you use your brain in the way it works best and you will create a life that you want to live, actually.
Absolutely.
Okay. Great. I think that was a great ending. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate you sharing your story because I think it's very good for as I mentioned, for your student from university, but also for other maybe professionals struggling with a similar situation to see where the struggles are, to see what direction they could move to really create a life that fits more to their brain.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you for being here. And I think I don't have any more closing words. So goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
But okay, now I stop the recording.